with a little Dvar Torah. So, one of the special things about Yiddishkeit is the consistency of it. We can connect with previous generations, even though we live in an entirely different reality than the previous generations lived in, an entirely different kind of culture. They lived in a world that didn't have, you know, depending on which generation you're talking about, didn't have automobiles, didn't have electric lights, didn't have indoor plumbing, vaccines, cotton clothing, and yet we still feel very much connected to the Rambam. We still feel very much, you know, you ever hear or read the Rav's description of Soloveitchik's description as a child of how his best friend was the Rambam, and how he felt like that was his that's who he felt closest to, because that's what he grew up with, and he felt a real connection because someone was able to spend hours and hours of each of his days thinking about the Rambam and reading his words and studying what he has to say. So you feel connected to someone like that, and that's entirely unique to religious Jews. You know, to know that we come from somewhere is one thing, but to actually feel connected, to feel connected to people from an entirely different generation is something else entirely. No one but the religious Jew would have anything in common with an ancestor from dozens of generations ago. A lot of times people have difficulty even relating to someone just one generation earlier or two generations earlier. And that consistency is very much reflected in the Avoda of Yom HaKippurim, and really everything we do, you know, everything we do each and every year. We come to each Yantif each and every year, and we do the same exact thing each and every year. And the Avoda of Yom HaKippurim, like most mitzvos, it's done with precision, and every year matches what was done the previous year. There's no innovation. There's no, like, the Kohen saying, you know, let me just change things up this year. Let's try something and, you know, see if we can add a little spice to this and see how it goes if we do it a little differently this year. His every move in the first year of Bayis Rishon matched exactly the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol in the last year of Bayis Sheni, even though there was almost a millennium that separated the two. And yet, with all of that sameness, there's one element of the Avoda that is never the same from one year to the next. And that is the halacha that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to wear the same begadim that he wore the previous year. Torah tells us, Uva Aaron Elol Moedu Fashatas Bigdei Habad Asher Lavash Bevo El HaKodesh V'Hinicham Sham, that he had to, not only he took off the Bigdei Habad V'Hinicham Sham, and Rashi quoting Gemar Numad Av Chav Dalid Melamed Shetu'unim Geniza V'lo Yishtamesh Ba'osan Arba Begadim Liyom Kippurim Acher, that the Begadim that he wore required Geniza, and he's not allowed to use them the next year. The Big Day Zahav, that's going to be the same from year to year. But the Big Day Lavan, they're never going to be used from one year to the next. And the question begs itself, why not? What would be so terrible if he wore the same begadim the following year? Just put him in his class. You know, a lot of us wear a kittel on Yom HaKippurim. So what do? We take our kittel after Yom Kippur, we send it to the cleaners, and it comes back from the cleaners, and then we get it the next year. We put it on again for the following year, or for those who wear it the Pesach Seder also. Okay, so you wear it twice a year. Some have the minhag not to get it cleaned after Pesach, that we want our wine stains. There's, I think, such a Hasidic minhag that you want to show the Ribbono Shel Olam in Yom HaKippurim. They still have your wine stains from the matzah crumbs from Pesach to show that you were careful about doing mitzvos. But be that as it may, we use the same one, and these were very expensive. The Mishnah in Third Parak Yuma tells us that the Big Day Lavan was very expensive. It's not only the Big Day Zav that was very expensive, Big Day Lavan was also very expensive. So why is it that we'd be so wasteful and not just reuse them from one year to the next? That's kasha number one. Question number two, a lot of Rishonim and Achronim point to another curious element of Yom Kippur. Most of what we do on Yom Kippur seems very appropriate for the nature of the day, the seriousness of the day, the focus of the day. You know, the fact that we say Vidur, that fits very nicely. The fact that we recite the Avoda, the fasting, the Kriyas HaTorah in the morning of Yom Kippur, the Maftir Yonah and Mincha, all of that seems to fit and seems to work with the theme of the day. There's one practice, though, that seems entirely out of place for Yom Kippur, that doesn't seem to really fit Yom HaKippurim, and that is the Kriyas HaTorah at Mincha on Yom HaKippurim. Instead of, choosing to read from, I don't know, the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim about how we should be holy or something like that, we read the end of the first of the Parshios that we read this week, and that's, of course, the Parsha of Arayos. So on the holiest day of the year, while we're feeling like malachim, we go to shul and we read how we shouldn't commit incest or bestiality, which is just like, it seems it's so jarring. What's the message of the Arayos that makes the Arayos specifically appropriate for Yom HaKippurim? Who would be thinking about Arayos on Yom HaKippurim? So Rabbi Lam Shlita, in a drasha that he delivered in 1973, there's something about Rabbi Lam's drashas. If you ever read Rabbi Lam's drashas, it's fun to look at the dates of the drasha, see what was going on in the world at that time, and then be amazed at how relevant they still are. Maybe the examples aren't always relevant to our time, but the message, how relevant it still is 50 years later. And Rabbi Lam quotes from Rav Mordechai HaKohen, who was a 16th century Mekubal from Tzfat, which pretty much, if you were alive in the 16th century in Tzfat, you were in all likelihood a Mekubal. So he was a 16th century Mekubal from Tzfat. And he explains that with all the concern that the Torah has for specific prescribed ritual and for unchanging tradition, the Torah very much wants us to avoid the danger of routine, the danger of rote. When we do the same thing over and over again, there is that very real danger that we become bored with it. And that can be a spiritual poison. If a person doesn't have any sense of excitement, any sense of energy, any sense of newness, a sense of ischadshus in his avoda, that can be very, very detrimental to developing and growing a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The avoda of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur had to be the same every single year. That's true. That's the way our religion works. But equally important, there had to be something fresh. There had to be something done with excitement, with enthusiasm. So you could see that balance in a lot of other areas of Torah and of life in general. Just look at tefillah. Our tefillos, and this is one of the struggles that, I taught in high school for 18 years, one of the more common questions that high school students who are trying to grow, genuinely trying to grow, would have is, how can we find tefillah exciting if we're just saying the same words that three times a day, every single day? And normally the answer is, have you figured out what those words mean yet? It's not boring until you get bored of at least knowing what you're saying. So, but you could imagine that a more serious person does know what those words mean and has thought about those words, and it's a legitimate question. Where's the excitement in it? How do I not get bored of saying the same thing? It's just so predictable. So yeah, they're largely the same, but and we've maintained a nusach for centuries. But there are two ways that it could become exciting. One is that we learn new ways to focus, new tunes to sing and incorporate in our tefillos, and that certainly infuses a certain modern spirit into our avoda. But there's something else. Just take the 19 brachos of Shmon Esrei. They can be brand new and fresh depending on the realities of a person's life and what they're going through at that time. Most of us at one point or another have experienced the bracha of Rifa'enu in a different way than we normally experience it. If lo aleinu, somebody is sick in our home, or in our families, our immediate families, or even our extended families or friends, Rifa'enu is different. Barech aleinu, in times of challenges of parnasa, in challenging times in Eretz Yisrael, as Semach David, Yerushalayim Yircha, the brachos take on different meaning when we're going through different things. Certainly what we're going through right now, for those of us who are reciting Avinu Malkeinu each and every day. So we've recited Avinu Malkeinu our entire lives on Tainas Tzibur and Aseres Yimei Tshuva, but which of the Avinu Malkeinus are the ones that get us emotional? Shlach Rufu Shalema L'chol Amecha, Kraro Gzar Dineinu, But now, has it ever in our entire lives have we ever gotten emotional about Minah Magefa Minach Lasecha? And yet now, of all the Avinu Malkeinus, Minah Magefa Minach Lasecha, as we're going through this terrible, terrible Magefa, and it's just to remind us, it's not over yet. Just when you think you've hit the other side, and you realize, at least for me, I don't know, I was there was a milestone last week where I almost went 72 hours without anybody I know dying. Almost, we almost hit 72 hours, and this week I was hoping to break the record, and then another phone call comes in about somebody out there. Still, so many people that are sick. And so many people that are suffering from this, and it takes on new meaning. The way you daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam is an entirely, entirely different way when you say certain words. Because, and it's not the same tefillah. It's not the same Minah Magefa Minach Lasecha that I said during Asar Yisimei Tshuva, or during I don't know Asar B'Teves. I always recall I wasn't there, but Rabbi Eli Storch told me that when Rabbi J.J. Schachter's oldest child got married, Rabbi J.J. Schachter has two daughters, one of whom, well, his son-in-law was just sitting Shiva this week, actually. Another is Mechutin Jack Tarzik, who was an outstanding person, was a victim of the coronavirus as well. But when Rabbi Schachter, my wife and I are very close with the with his younger daughter and son-in-law, but when his we're somewhat friendly also with his older daughter. So when his older daughter got married, I wasn't there. Rabbi Storch told me that Rabbi Schachter spoke under the chuppah. So we imagine Rabbi Schachter was a very, very prominent shul rabbi in the Jewish center, and I'm sure he's been Masari Kiddushin hundreds of times, at different weddings. And he spoke under the chuppah, and his opening line was as follows. He says, "I've done this 1,000 times before, but I've never done this before." Meaning, yeah, he's been Masari Kiddushin 1,000 times before, but it's different when it's your own kid, when it's your own daughter. That's got to be a different feeling. And the idea is that you could do the same things over and over again, the same actions that might be rote or might feel like they ought to be rote, and they're not, because they take on new meaning depending on what you're going through. And that's how a lot of the Achronim explain why it is that we use wine at the Seder for the Dal Lashonos of Gula, to commemorate the Dal Lashonos of Gula. Why not four matzos? Why not four potatoes? Why not four anything? Why dafka four cups of wine? And Rosh Zalman in his Haggadah and others explain that we use wine because a second cup of wine is not just one cup of wine times two. It's not just a quantitative difference. There's a cumulative effect that wine has on a person. And each subsequent cup of wine makes an impact that the previous one could not. So we do the same action four times, but each time that we do that action, it's granted an entirely new meaning. And similar when we count Sfira. Sfira is not just the same Sfira for 49 straight days. We're doing the same action each and every day, but each level that we're taken to, that's the Kabbalistically, that certainly it seems that way. A Hod Shebegvura is different than a Chesed Shebetiferes. That each day has some different meaning than the day before, has something unique to it, something different to connect to than the previous day. So why does a Kohen Gadol need a fresh set of clothing to do the Avodah? So Rabbi Lam suggests, according to Mordechai HaKohen, that maybe we hope that the outward novelty will inspire and evoke from within the Kohen Gadol some new inner freshness and new enthusiasm in the Avodah. And that might also explain the choice of Arayos as the subject for the reading at Mincha and Yom HaKippurim. See, people tend to resort to moral depravity, to the worst kinds of moral depravity, when they can't find excitement in their regular lives. They look for something new, no matter what that something new is, and no matter how abhorrent it is. And the Gemara Nida asks, we started the year with it, this year. The Gemara Nida says, "Mipnei ma amra Torah Nida tamei l'shiva." Why is it that Nida's tamei for 7 days? And obviously, when it comes to Tamei HaMitzvos, it's a reason, not the reason. But the Gemara talks about it, takes the question seriously. Why does the Torah say it needs Tamei for 7 days? And the Gemara's answer is because Mepresha Ragilba, the Katzba, that a sense of boredom could set into a relationship, that it's the same thing every day with the same person. So there is this sense of boredom that can set in. And in order that they should be able to fall in love all over again, every single month, the Torah says that she's going to be Tamei Lashiva. Meaning the Torah builds in a sense of excitement. It builds in a sense of energy to the relationship. Something, a sense of newness to the relationship. And that's how we freshen up the relationship. And the alternative to that excitement is in all the wrong places. It's trying to find excitement in all the wrong places. What better time to emphasize that point than just before, not just Stam and Yom Kippur, just before davening Mincha and Yom Kippur. You ever notice on Mincha and Yom Kippur, people could be very into davening. At the beginning of Mincha and Yom Kippur, half the people aren't even there. People take naps, they sleep a little late. I don't know, depending on the shul, I guess. But, when Mincha Mamish starts, a lot of times, there are a lot of people that aren't there yet. Aren't there physically, and certainly aren't there emotionally. It's draining. You just put a lot of kochos into a long shacharis and a long musaf. And you're gearing up for Ni'ilah. And Yom Kippur is like, okay, you're I mean, Mincha and Yom Kippur, rather, it's like, you're sort of out of energy. It's the only tefillah in Yom Kippur that sort of lacks passion and lacks energy. So we're given a reminder to infuse a sense of ischadshus in our avodas Hashem, dafka at that point. And, our goal always, always is to grow, to become better Jews, better people than we were the day before. And we do that with an absolute commitment to shmiras hamitzvos and to every kutzo shel yirav halacha. But that only is going to look, that will only look like growth if we infuse hischadshus in it. By doing the same thing every day, it doesn't feel like growth unless in some way it's different. Particularly during this time that we're in right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us obviously a very, very terrible nisayon to live through. But at the same time, he gave us an opportunity for hischadshus. At the very beginning of this, weeks ago, when things were first shut down, there was a thing that went viral, like a half-hour Musar Shmuz that was given by some anonymous person. No one was able to identify who it was. It was a fellow from Baltimore. At least no one I know was able to identify who it was. Someone ultimately said they think it was a pediatrician or something in Baltimore. It was like a half-hour Musar Shmuz. I'm sure many of you heard it, where the fellow was talking to his children and grandchildren, and he was trying to explain what this all means, meaning what the message to take out of all of this is, of all the cancellation of weddings and the cancellation of shuls and the shutting down of restaurants and all of this. And essentially his message was, and it was stated very, very powerfully, and I'll say as a preface that my friend Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg did not like it. He spoke about this and he said that he didn't like it because we don't know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does anything, and we can't know the Chachma of Hashem. I happen to like it very much because I don't think he was trying to explain why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did anything. I think what he was trying to do was to explain what messages we should take out of it, and that we're always allowed to do and encouraged to do. In fact, it would be gross negligence to not take a traumatic situation like this and try to figure out what we're supposed to get out of this, how we're supposed to change, what we're supposed to do differently now. That has to be a question that we ask. What do we expect differently of ourselves, different from ourselves, after all of this? What do we expect different from our communities after all of this, different from Klal Yisrael after all of this? And what this fellow was suggesting in a very, very powerful way was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, we're going to shut everything down and we're going to hit the reset button on everything. We had weddings a certain way up until this point. Let's hit the reset button on that. And let's try to think about what's really important. Now, our wedding's going to be eventually, when we have the ability to socialize normally. 10 people, no bubbies and zadies. Is that what we want weddings to be? No, of course not. A wedding is supposed to be a celebration, but where's the point of emphasis in the celebration? You know, is shul forever supposed to be canceled because you know, so many people are talking about how meaningful it is and powerful it is to daven b'yichidus and say every word out loud slowly, and you know how amazing it is that when you daven on Rosh Chodesh you're able to say every word of Barchi Nafshi slowly. Who even knew that there were that many words? How's it done in 32 seconds in shul? And you know, so there are these advantages, but that's not what it was meant to be. I mean, it wasn't meant to be done in 32 seconds either, but that wasn't what it was meant to be. Of course we're supposed to go back, but let's hit the reset button and figure out how it's really supposed to be. How long will it take till people are taking out their smartphones again during Chazar HaShatz? Chazar HaShatz, we haven't had Chazar HaShatz in months. How long will it be till people are talking during Kriyas HaTorah? Or at least distracted and not paying attention during Kriyas HaTorah. The opportunity to hit the reset button gives us an opportunity to just reevaluate, everything that we do, and that sometimes maybe things did grow stale for us. Maybe we allowed Tefillah B'Tzibur to grow a little bit stale. Maybe we allowed all of the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunities to reach out to him, maybe we did allow that to grow a little bit stale. So whether we would have chosen this or not, and obviously the answer is not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an opportunity to have a sense of Hischadshus. And that opportunity cannot be lost. We have to think about how we're going to have that sense of Hischadshus. You know, now is time. It's already, we're at the time where we're just over the hump, where we can start looking forward a little bit. We can't start acting differently yet, but we can start looking forward a little bit to what things are going to look like and how things are going to be. And now's the time to really consider how our tefillah is going to be different, how our relationships are going to be different. You know, last Shabbos, I was like everybody else. It was a beautiful day. Took a walk with my family. You can't take a walk with anyone else, so you take a walk with your family, because you're allowed to take a walk with your family. And as we were walking, a couple of people stopped and said, "Oh my God, I've never like seen all of you together." That made me so sad. Like, you know, except for those few moments at my kids' bar mitzvahs where it's like, just smile already, Zachariah, get this over with, you know? Like, or, I don't mean to sing a lot, but usually. You know, just like, I've never seen all of us standing together in the same place. And maybe we have to reassess that, you know, to have a little bit more of that, even when we don't have to, even when there are other options that are open, maybe to feel the embrace of the Ribono Shel Olam, when we see the silver lining in things, to celebrate health. You know, I don't know how many of you know, there's a wonderful Rav here in the Five Towns, Rabbi Chaim Aryeh Zev Ginsberg. So when all this started, his name was Rabbi Aryeh Zev Ginsberg. And he was very, very ill. Very, very ill. To the point that they added a name. And to the point that, you know, it did not look good. And, and 2 days ago, he came home from the hospital. He still has recovering to do, obviously, because it's a long battle. But he came home from the hospital. And you've seen these videos, I'm sure, of people coming home from the hospital. The music, the celebration. What are they celebrating? What's the music about? They're celebrating health. The fact that a person is healthy. Well, we have the opportunity to celebrate that every single time we say the bracha of Asher Yatzar. We could celebrate that. We don't need to be sick in order to celebrate health. In order to feel a sense of Hakaras HaTov to the Ribono Shel Olam. You know, it's always the same thing blasting. Thank you, Hashem, right? The Thank You, Hashem song is always blasting. We can feel that. Just hit the reset button. And we can appreciate what that means. What that means to have health, what that means to have family, what that means to have a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. So, Be'ez Hashem, we should be able to get back to rote. To doing the same thing over and over again. But the rote should never be rote. It should always be with a profound sense of genuine Hischadshus.